Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Let's go
to the word. The mysterious Jerusalem. And I have been talking about the mysterious Jerusalem, and tonight we are on a very important part of that subject of the mysterious Jerusalem. So just to recap quickly, there were parts of the sermon. The first part I took that said that the intention of Lucifer was to take a throne, and the throne was the throne of the city of Jerusalem, the temple of God. So, but he was not allowed to take the throne. He was thrown down. And when he was thrown down on the earth, God, through his servants, started to establish the patterns that is in heaven, the city of Jerusalem, on earth. And when Lucifer saw that God is creating the heavenly city, Jerusalem, his throne, on the face of the earth, Lucifer started to covet the very throne of Jerusalem. Okay. The second part, we saw that there are two Jerusalems. One is the heavenly and one is the earthly Jerusalem. And we are called to be the citizens of the new Jerusalem. Then after that, we also saw that God is done with the earthly Jerusalem. He has no plans to build the third temple. However, the third temple will be built not for God, but for the Antichrist. Whereas the vision that Ezekiel got for the third temple, it's in relation to the heavenly Jerusalem that he was seeing, and he had to convey the message to Israel that you will be in that heavenly Jerusalem. We will come to that afterwards. Now, what we are on is the temple history of Jerusalem. The temple history of Jerusalem has to be known. And the temple was built two times in Jerusalem. And the temple was destroyed two times in Jerusalem. And right now, there is no temple that hosts the presence of God. Currently, even as we live on this earth, there is no temple in Jerusalem that hosts the presence of God. Well, when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, his body became the temple, and then he sent his spirit in our bodies. And now our bodies is the temple of the living God. And hallelujah. Amen. And now God has revealed, because the temple of Jerusalem has been corrupted many times. So we saw the first physical temple was built by Solomon, the king. And he built the temple, and we saw that when he built the temple, God gave him certain conditions to abide by for keeping the glory of God in the temple that he built. But the conditions were not fulfilled, because the temple was corrupted, and the temple was corrupted in a way that no one could have imagined. The temple was corrupted in a way that no one could have imagined. So God allowed a certain nation called Babylon to enter Jerusalem and to destroy the temple and to take the vessels of the temple of God, of the holy place of God, the vessels, the utensils of gold, of silver, to be taken away. And the temple was completely destroyed by Babylon entering it and Babylon destroying it. So that happened, and we saw that in the last sermons. But why was the temple destroyed? Because the laws of God were not followed. The commandments of God were not followed, and the temple was corrupted, so corrupted that the devil started to take the throne in the temple. And that's why the presence of God left the temple. So we were on the abominations of the temple. Listen to me. There is something called as the abomination of desolation. Everyone say the abomination of desolation.
Abomination of desolation.
Yes, we will go towards that. Now, why did God left the temple? Now, listen to me. I told you, like, God dwells in the third heaven. His intention was to dwell among his people right here on earth. When you read the book of Revelation chapter number 21, you will see that the Bible says that the intention of God, the desire of God, The dwelling of God is with men, and the tabernacle of God is with men. He wants to dwell with his people. But so God, the throne of God, was literally transported from the third heaven to Solomon's temple when the temple was built. And God was dwelling among the cherubims. God was dwelling right inside the temple that Solomon built. Hallelujah. The speciality of the temple was not about the wood, about the materials, about the expensive gold and the cedars of Lebanon and all those stuff that Solomon used. The speciality of the temple that Solomon built, that God came in the temple that he built. God started to dwell, literally the throne of God, the presence of God would administer and execute the law of God, the laws of heaven and the justice of heaven right in Israel by the presence of God that was captured in the most holy place that Solomon built there. But you know, the devil wants to take the throne of God. So he started to corrupt the priests of the temple. He started to corrupt the priests of the temple. So the priests who used to worship God, they used to worship God and also worship Satan. They started the dual responsibility. They started dual working. They would worship God, they will worship Satan. They will serve God, they will serve Satan. And God was watching over it. And that is called the abominations in the temple. Abomination is when the place where God dwells is corrupted. That is abomination. And then we will see desolation. But abominations started right in the time during the time of Solomon, when Solomon built the temple. Solomon was the man who initiated the abominations by building foreign altars to foreign gods that his wives worshipped. And then after that, Israel started to, Jeroboam came and all those things happened. But we will see the abominations in Ezekiel chapter number 8. Let's go there now. Tonight we are on a very important part of the subject of the mysterious Jerusalem. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 8. And I already started off with Ezekiel chapter number 8. Let's start from verse number 3. Verse number 3. He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted my eyes toward the north, and there, north of the altar gate, was the image of jealousy in the entrance. Image of jealousy at the entrance. Image of jealousy on the gate. So the thing that we realize is, when the abomination started, the image, I have already explained in the last sermon, the image of jealousy. But the thing to notice here is, when the image of jealousy was still there, God's presence was still waiting. God did not move out of the place. Remember when Jesus was writing, when Jesus in the book of Revelation was dictating the letters that John should write to the seven churches in Asia. Okay? And some things were there. He had seven stars in one of his hand. There were seven lampstands. And then he said the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So the fire was burning in the churches. Now, the thing that you have to realize at that time, that in the whole of Asia, there were not only seven churches, but there were many churches in Asia. But there were only seven churches where the presence of God was still there. The presence of God was still there. And those churches in Asia were signified by fire in the temple of God, where Jesus was standing in the book of Revelation. Stay with me. What? Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Okay. Let me show you that. Revelation chapter number. Revelation chapter number 1. Let's only read verse number 20. This is what Jesus is saying. He is explaining what John is saying. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 20. Jesus says, "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstand. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." So where was the lampstand? The lampstand was there where Jesus was standing. Where was Jesus standing? In the third heaven, in the temple of God in third heaven. Hallelujah. So every church on earth, listen to me. Every church on earth that hosts the presence of God is signified as a burning lamp in the third heaven, in the temple of God. Are you understanding that? So these seven churches, there were other churches, but their lamps were not burning in the holy place of God. There are churches, they are doing Sunday service, they are teaching the Bible, but God's authority is not over the churches, those churches. Satan has taken over those churches. These seven churches, God is still merciful to them. And that's why the lamps is burning. Some of the churches, the doctrine of Balaam already entered the church. Some of the churches there, you know the letters to seven churches, okay? You would have read that. Some of the churches there, Jesus says, Jezebel, the prophetess, has seduced my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things offered to idols. But I am still waiting for them to repent. So even there were abominations that had already entered the churches, but Jesus' presence was still waiting there. He did not leave the church. He was still giving them warnings. Are you understanding? That is what is happening in the temple of Jerusalem. God is not like some of us, "Oh, you did this wrong. I'm not going to talk to you at all," and you leave. No, God is patient with people. So even though abominations are committed, he still waits there to see if they will listen to the words of my prophets. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this meeting, amen. This meeting that hosts the presence of God, there will be a lamp that is burning in the heavenlies. It does not matter how big is the church building, how many people are coming and all those stuff. It does not matter, irrespective of that. What a church should concentrate is, do we host the presence, the fire of God? And is our lamp burning in the holy place? If our lamp is burning, the eyes of Jesus are on that, is on that church, and Jesus is still releasing his words, warnings, rebukes, corrections, exhortations to them. Hallelujah. Do you see one of the churches, some of the churches, Jesus says, if you don't repent in the time given by me, I will come and take the lampstand away from you. That means your lamp will not burn in my temple. Hallelujah. So that is how God, hallelujah, that is how God has a track of his churches. That is how God has a track of churches across the nations. Revelation chapter number 1 is an example that there were seven churches, seven lampstands burning. And those were the seven churches, Jesus says. Hallelujah. And angels are assigned to churches. The seven stars are the seven angels. Messengers are assigned. The apostolic ministry, the prophetic ministry is to take the words of Jesus and give to the churches. Hallelujah. Okay, any which ways, not going into that. So that is what I want to show you. Let's turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel chapter number 8. That is what I want to show you, that the image of jealousy was there at the gate. I told you in my last sermon that I was in this meeting. I was in the meeting doing the work for the man of God. The man of God was leading the meeting and I was helping him. There was a 3-day meeting in a village. So I was there with him. And the first day went, and the second day, and all those things. The second day, I saw a vision that this man of God was ministering on the pulpit, and he was wearing a certain garment, a shirt, a coat. I saw the color, I saw the pant exactly. I saw the garments, and then he was holding the mic and preaching in the vision. I saw a very huge angel coming on the pulpit. And then this angel came and took the mic of this man of God and took it away. That was the vision I saw. I prayed about the vision. I said, what is this? I did not believe that it was actually going to happen. And then the third night meeting was going to start. And the man of God got ready and he came. When he came in front of me, I saw him in the exact coat, the exact shirt, the exact pant that I saw him wearing in the vision. I said, he's wearing the same thing. I did not understand what is going to happen that night. And when that night meeting started, in the middle, no one sensed it, but I knew it. He lost connection because the angel of God came and took away his mic. Because the north gate is the gate of the temple, is the platform of the temple for the presence, to host the presence of God, for the gatekeepers of God to be there. But two spirits cannot be on the same place. The man had the spirit of jealousy, and the spirit of jealousy and the spirit of God and the angel of God cannot minister on the same place. And because God was merciful to the people who came in the meeting, to the villagers, God took over the meeting. The Lord took over the meeting and took away his mic. And the Lord started to minister in the meeting. So always remember, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon together. So if there are two spirits existing on one platform, there cannot be two spirits existing on one platform. There will be a conflict. One has to go. So that was the image of jealousy, which was image of jealousy. Basically, it's signifying the characteristic of Lucifer, that Lucifer is the one jealous of God sitting on the throne. Okay, and he is trying to take over. There is a conflict. Why does jealousy, if there is jealousy in a church, that means Lucifer is working there. If there is a conflict that has arose through jealousy, that means there are two spirits. There are two spirits. One spirit is jealous of the other spirit. So, any which ways, the image of jealousy, verse number 6. Now, this is important. Verse number 6, Ezekiel chapter number 8, verse number 6. Furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they are doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here? So these are abominations. What is abomination? Abomination is corrupting the temple of God with the things of the devil, with the idols and the rituals of Satan. That is abomination. The great abomination that the house of Israel commits here, to make me what? To make me go far away from my sanctuary. So the devil is using the people who minister in the temple to work for him. And when they start to align to the devil, listen to me. When they start to align to Lucifer, God is grieved. The spirit of God is grieved. And the spirit of God leaves the temple. Okay. Now turn again. You will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. When I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. What does it say? idols of the house of Israel. The people who were involved in black magic and Kabbalah is no other than Israel themselves, because a part of Israel was corrupted by Lucifer. When God chose Abraham as the father and as the person through whose seed the nations of the earth will be blessed, and through whom will be birthed out this Israel, which will be the nation of God, the devil was after this people of Israel, and he corrupted the people of Israel and corrupted many of the seed of God to be a seed to himself. That's why when Jesus came, he did not address the Pharisees, "Oh, you children of God." What did he say to the Pharisees? "You are brood of vipers, the breed of snakes. You came from Lucifer." That is what Jesus told the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? Ministers who ministered in the temple of God. How can the ministers in the temple of God can be the breed of Satan? That is how Jerusalem is corrupted. That is how the temple of Jerusalem is corrupted, beloved. These were, listen to me. It says the idols of Israel. Israel had in place magic, idols, sorcery in place. And many of the so-called Israel, saying they are Jews, they fund most of the satanic movies and satanic agendas to be propagated. The funds come right from Israel, from those Jewish people. Who are they? They are those who say they are Jews but are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Those are the people who are going to build the third temple and who are going to place the abomination of desolation, the throne of Antichrist there. Stay with me. This has begun right from the time when the first temple was built. The one who would host the presence of Satan in the temple of God was not Babylon, was not Assyria, was the Jewish priest right inside the temple who were ministering to God. It says every creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. Underline that. Who were they? They were 70 men. Oh God. Remember in Numbers chapter number 11, when the burden upon Moses was a lot, God said, "Okay, the burden that you are holding is a lot. So I will take a portion of the anointing upon you and pour it upon the 70 elders." Do you remember that scripture? 70 elders. So God gathered the 70 of them. Any which ways, some of them were not there, they were in the houses. But the Bible says God gathered the 70 of them, took a portion that was upon Moses' anointing, and poured it upon them. And when he poured the anointing on them, they started to prophesy. 70 elders, it signifies the council group of Israel. It signifies the eldership of Israel. The 70 elders who were supposed, listen to me, who were supposed to lead the people of Israel to God and to the ordinances of God prophetically, they were the one initiating Satan worship right in the temple. They were the one initiating Satan worship. There stood before them 70 elders of the house of Israel, and in their midst stood Jezaniah. This guy is important. This guy is the one who was bringing about human sacrifices to Satan. We will come to that. It's there in Ezekiel in the next chapters. Jezaniah, each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark?" So on the pulpit, they teach the Bible. So they serve God and they serve Satan. They are serving two masters. Hallelujah. God is still there. God is not blind. Even though they are doing it by digging a hole in the wall and doing it in the inner chambers, they think we are hiding from God. But God's eyes can penetrate through through the earth, through whatever divisions. And God can see. They were doing those things in the inner chambers. Listen to me now. He says, verse number 12, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols? For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, turn again and you will see greater abomination that they are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. I told you who Tammuz is. Tammuz is the son of Nimrod and Ashtoreth, or Nimrod, or and the other name for that woman is Semiramis. That is Tammuz. I already told you the story of Tammuz. Tammuz is what Satan has created as a counterfeit, as a copy of what Jesus is, to deceive the people. They were weeping for Tammuz. There is a ritual. In the Easter sermon where I preached the demonic roots of Easter or Istre, which is basically the word of a goddesses, word for a goddesses. It's an English Saxon word, which is used by people in the Bible from KJV that, oh, Easter is something that Herod celebrated. That is there in the book of Acts. Any which ways, I'm not going into those things. But that is where this ritual comes. They weep. Why? To bring back the dead Tammuz. They weep to bring back the dead spirits back. The people who died. They weep to bring back the familiar spirits. Last week when I was praying, the Lord started to show me so many things that will take place in the Western countries. And the word that the Holy Spirit gave me is the government, the Hollywood, you know, the big platforms which has impact and control over people and can impact people are going to introduce the people to familiar spirits, to dead spirits. I know it is already happening, but on a large scale, they are going to introduce people to familiar spirits, to consult with the dead. Because why are women weeping for Tammuz? So because they think Tammuz is the savior, they are weeping for dead Tammuz right in the temple of God. That is what Ezekiel saw. In the temple, in the church where they worship God, they were weeping for Tammuz. Okay, stay with me. Verse number 15. Another greater abomination. The weeping of Tammuz was followed by the next greater abominable satanic ritual in the temple. The fourth ritual was verse number 15. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again and you will see greater abomination than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. Underline that, people of God, 25 men with their back towards the temple of God and their faces toward the east. And they were worshiping the sun toward the east. You see the arrangement? That is a satanic ritual. Where you show your back to God, that means you have betrayed God, and you face towards the sun, that means you have accepted Nimrod as your God. That is what they were doing. 25 men. Who were they? They were a group of people. Listen to me. What they were doing, that means God, we have betrayed you. You leave the temple, and they were facing towards Nimrod, towards the sun, to the east. And what they were doing, they were calling Nimrod, or they were calling the sun god to come back, to come and occupy the throne of the temple. Nimrod is the spirit of Antichrist. Nimrod is that sun god. You see, this is the impact that Egypt did on Israel when Israel was in Egypt. Who is Pharaoh? Pharaoh is also called Ra, the sun god. And when you read the book of Ezekiel, I think it's in chapter number 20. Okay? Something which is not revealed in Exodus is revealed by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter number 20. Ezekiel is a powerful book. Besides Isaiah, which is a prophetic book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, Ezekiel is a powerful book of the mysteries of the Old Testament. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel reveals a lot, dear saints. It reveals a lot. It reveals the ancient kingdom of Lucifer. It reveals who was Pharaoh. He was a great monster in the river Nile. He was a marine spirit. It reveals Lucifer. Who was he? And it is a book of mystery if you read Ezekiel. And most of those things I've explained in my previous sermons. Ezekiel is a powerful book. It reveals the abominations. The abominations, if you want to study how does the future looks like for Israel, the future of Israel is already has already happened in the past in the book of Ezekiel. When you read the abomination, that is what will happen in Israel in the coming days. Who is Nimrod? Nimrod is the spirit of Antichrist. Who is calling the Antichrist? The people of Israel themselves are calling the Antichrist. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. I know there are many sermons. Oh, that the Antichrist will be a Muslim. Who said that? I have studied my Bible. He will not be a Muslim. He will be a... Oh, it will be brought by the Muslims. Who said he will be brought by the Muslims? The Antichrist will be brought by so-called Jewish people who are not Jews, but are a synagogue of Satan. Hallelujah. Stay with me. Muslims are far away from these things. The God they believe in does not reveal the mysteries. Muslims don't know about all these things. The Antichrist spirit will come from the very branch of God that was corrupted by Satan. Hallelujah. Stay with me. What is happening there? They were facing their back towards. I told you. You know, we in India know, the people in the West don't know it. When the people in India worship the so-called idol or sun god, they face backwards and walk backwards. It's a kind of satanic ritual. Like I told you many times, the moonwalk that Michael Jackson did, walking backwards like this. It's a satanic walk. It's a mockery of God. It's showing back to God and walking backwards. You know, and all those stuff that was done right in the temple. 25, did you underline 25 people there? 25 people group were doing that, 25 of them. 70 elders were involved, 25 of them were involved here. And how were they calling? They were facing Nimrod, the sun. They were calling the sun. And God was grieved. God was in the temple. You see how merciful and patient God is. God has not still left the temple. When God will leave, he will leave in Ezekiel chapter number 10. We'll come to that. But that, after that, he will leave. So that is what I'm saying. When a church is getting corrupted, Jesus does not leave. Oh, you are getting corrupted, I leave you. No, he's still there. The lamp is still burning. He sends prophets. He sends warning to save them. But when they don't obey, the lampstand is taken away, the presence is taken away. Once the presence is taken away, you are not under the covering of God. You are not under, hallelujah. Don't join a church by looking at how big it is. Do we have a Starbucks there so that I can enjoy coffee during the sermon? Hallelujah. How are the toilets in the church? And how are those things? Look at, does the church host the glory of God? Does it has the right doctrine, or has it deviated from it? Or does it has the doctrine of Balaam or the doctrine of Jezebel there? Or does it really has the doctrine of God? Any which ways. It says 25, Ezekiel chapter number 8, verse number 16. 25 people, men were there, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. Okay, now turn with me. You will be shocked to see this now. What this 25 men were not just doing that activity. They were also doing something else, led by Jezaniah. Hallelujah. Jezaniah and Pelatiah. Turn with me to Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel chapter number 11. Ezekiel chapter number 11. Verse number 1. When the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the east gate of the Lord's house, which faces eastward, and there at the door of the gate were 25 men. Underline that. The same group of men were 25 men, among whom I saw who? Jezaniah, the same guy. Jezaniah, this guy is a dangerous guy. The second one was Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. They were the what? Princes of the people. Okay, we will come. I don't know if I have time. Ezekiel, when he describes the temple of God, the third temple, which many people say, which will be built, he talks about the prince of the temple. The only prince that we have is Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? Okay, let me not go into that. But they were called the princes of people. They were who? They were the spirit of Antichrist. They were the spirit of Antichrist, leading people on a contrary way. Any which ways, let's see that. Verse number 2. And he said to me, son of man, there are the men who devise iniquity and give wicked counsel in this city, who say, the time is not near to build houses. The city is the cauldron and we are the meat. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. What are they teaching? What are they teaching? They are teaching people what? The city is the cauldron. What is a cauldron? Cauldron is basically a pot in which meat is cooked. And who is the meat? He is saying the people are the meat. He is encouraging and devising human sacrifices. We'll see that. He is encouraging human sacrifices. I know this preacher from Nigeria who is famous worldwide, and he passed away. God took him off. But I know so many people this so-called prophet has killed in his church, has literally killed in his church. Human sacrifices, and the media and the people don't even have a track record. People who were there with him, they know how many people were killed. If you know the news, I think some years back, the building where all the people from all the nations used to come to attend his church, there was a building, I think 5-6 story building. The whole building fell down and so many hundreds of people were killed in that building. It was a human sacrifice. And then he says Satan has done that and all those things. Human sacrifices, cauldron. He is saying, listen to me. Christians don't know about it. Christians cannot fathom what Satan is doing. What these guys are saying, they are saying to the people, the time is not near to build houses. This city is a cauldron and we are the meat. Therefore, prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak. Thus says the Lord. Listen to me. Have you seen this? Have you seen these people around the prophets who are the followers of the prophets and who will do whatever the prophet says? You know, they are the right hand, the left hand, the servants of the prophet. I have heard those people that are so mind controlled that if I have to lay down my life for my prophet, I will lay it down. If the prophet says, go and kill yourself, I will kill myself. That is how the agents of... You see that in politics. I have seen that in the politics. Some people in the nation, I don't want to take the name of the minister. Oh, if he says, if for him we have to die, we will die. Because this guy who has a spirit initiated a mind control agenda that people will be ready to die for him and he will be able to offer them as human sacrifices. That is what Satan does with Hollywood celebrities. That is what they are teaching. You know, they are teaching a mind control doctrine. They are saying to the people there, you know, don't build houses because the city is a cauldron and you are the meat. If required, you have to die and you have to be sacrificed. And many people get into that mind control. I don't know if you have seen such people or not. I have seen and heard such people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You don't need to die for anyone. Jesus died for them. No, don't need to die for anyone. If you have not seen such people, at least you have seen romantic movies. Where the boy says, I will die for you, my sweetheart. That is the doctrine impact that they are bringing upon people. Mm-hmm. Okay, stay with me. Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak. Verse number 5, okay? Speak, thus says the Lord, thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. You have multiplied your slain in the city, and you have filled its streets with the slain. There are human sacrifices happening there. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in the midst, they are the meat, and this city is the cauldron. You see what they are saying? People have cut down the bodies of men on the street. And people are saying, the city is the pot, and these are the meat which will be cooked. Which city? Jerusalem is the pot of human beings cooked for Satan. There is something called a spirit cooking, which a lot of elites do to please Satan. My God. God is patient, you see. The level of abomination Jerusalem went into, the level of abomination, can you see that in the scripture? Hallelujah. Christians, many of us, when we read the scripture, we just go by. Oh? No, look at what God is speaking there. What actually happened there? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, your slain, whom you have laid. Verse number 7. You say that they are the meat and this city is the cauldron, but I shall bring you out of the midst of it. Hallelujah. That is the remnant. I shall bring you out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, says the Lord God, and I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. The city shall not be your cauldron. The city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the meat in its midst. I will judge you at the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. For you have not walked in my statutes, nor executed my judgments, but have done according to the customs of the Gentiles, which are all around you. Now it happened, when I was prophesying, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Who was he? He was the one initiating these rituals, along with Jezaniah. When Jeremiah was prophesying, he fell down and he died. He fell down and he died. I am telling you, in the name of Jesus, anyone who places the abomination in God's temple, at the word of the Lord, at the prophecy of the Lord, at the exposing of the Lord, they will fall down and die in the name of Jesus Christ.
Then hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then I fall down. Then I fell on my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, will you make a complete end of the remnant of Israel? Hallelujah. Jeremiah was interceding. When he saw he was prophesying, this guy fell down and he died. Okay, do you see that 25 men, what they were doing, what Jezaniah was doing? So there is still the spirit of Jezaniah, the spirit in which Pelatiah operated right inside Israel. And Israel is moving towards abominations. Israel is moving towards these things, abominations. There, in the nation of Israel, what is going to, why? Because what the devil wants to make the city of Jerusalem a cauldron. and cook the meat of people and bring sacrifices and power to himself by doing those satanic rituals. That is what he wants to make of Jerusalem. All these things were happening. God was still looking at it and giving warnings through the prophet Ezekiel. Sorry, the one who fell down and cried was not Jeremiah, Ezekiel. We are on the book of Ezekiel. So he's still giving warnings to people through the prophet Ezekiel, through the prophet Jeremiah. And even Isaiah was living around that time. So he was patient and giving them warnings. But at last he departed from the temple. And when he departed, when God himself leaves the temple was prone to be destroyed completely. And God allowed Babylon to come and destroy the temple. Are you understanding abominations? These things are abominations. Okay? These things that we read is abominations. Our activities are abominations. Basically, it is corrupting the temple with satanic ritual. It is corrupting the city with satanic ritual by calling the spirit of Satan, by calling the spirit of Antichrist and grieving the spirit of God. That is all is abominations. Okay, I want to show you a glimpse of God left the temple of Israel, because you need to know that this temple no longer hosts the presence of God, because God was grieved by this so-called temple, by what was happening inside the temple. For that, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter number 1. Ezekiel chapter number 1. Let's start from verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives of the river Shebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. And brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also, from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was the appearance. They had the likeness of man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had face and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. Mm-hmm. There was no deviation in their walking. Like we walk like this or like this, they walked laterally. That is how the cherubims are in the presence of God. There is no deviation from following God. Remember what Joshua was instructed. Do not move to the right. Do not move to the left. But walk in the word of the Lord. So they moved laterally like this. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion. On the right side, each of the four had a face of an ox. On the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. These four faces is a revelation. I have already preached about it long time back, but I will cover it quickly, okay? Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward, two wings of each one toward one another, touched one another, and two covered their bodies, and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. Hallelujah. They were moved only by the Spirit of the living God. Okay, let's stop there. And now turn with me. Now, do you know these four living creatures? One had the face of a lion, one had the face of a man, one had the face of the ox, one had the face of an eagle. Now, who are these creatures? These are cherubims. The cherubims who are not covering God, but cherubims who carry the throne of God. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter number 10. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter number 10, verse number 1. Now, listen to me. What is happening here? This chapter 10 is after chapter 8. After the abominations God showed Ezekiel, this is what my people are doing with me. And they want my presence to go far away from the sanctuary, my sanctuary. This is after that. God leaves the temple that Solomon built. God leaves Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter number 10. And I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, Go in among the wheels under the cherub. Fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim and scatter them over the city. And he went in, and as I watched. Okay, now what is happening? What is happening? The four creatures, look at this. The four creatures were like this. Two. There were four creatures. And over the four creatures was a firmament. Over them, the four creatures were standing. Over them was a firmament. And on the firmament, there was something that appeared like a sapphire stone and having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. So the four creatures carrying the throne of God. A man in linen was said to go among the four creatures, and among the four creatures, under their feet, under their wheels, was found coals of fire. These are the same things that Isaiah saw. Remember the seraphims that took the coals of fire? So where the creature stands, there are coals of fire on which they stand. Listen to me. Stay with me. So what was this man instructed was, take the coals of fire from there and throw it over the city. Throw it over the city. Hallelujah. Have you seen the rocket launching in the TV? When the rocket is launched, you know, there is a lot of fire that comes from behind it, a smoke that behind, you cannot stand near to the place. So when God decides to leave the place, the fire of God's destructions is released in that place. When Jesus decides to leave a church, there is the consuming fire behind it that destroys that place. Take the coals of fire from there and burn Jerusalem so that its corruption can be destroyed and it can be laid desolate. We will come to desolation. That is desolation. Stay with me. Verse number three. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple. When the man went in and the cloud filled the inner court, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and passed over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of God, of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even in the outer courts, like the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. Then it happened, when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim. And then he went in and stood beside the wheel. And the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of man's hand under the wings. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by each other cherub. The wheels appeared to have the color of beryl stone. As for the appearance, all four looked alike, as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of their four direction. They did not turn aside when they went, but followed in the direction the head was facing. They did not turn aside when they went, and their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and the wheels that the four had, were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing wheel. Each one had four faces. The first face was a face of a cherub, the second face, the face of a man, the third face, the face of a lion, the fourth face, the face of an eagle. And the cherubim were lifted up. This was the living creature I saw by the river Shebar. That is Ezekiel chapter number 1. The same living creature was this cherubim that he saw. So you will see one thing. When you read Ezekiel chapter number 1, he does not mention that they are cherubims. He mentions that they are living creatures, because Ezekiel in that vision did not know that they are cherubims. Ezekiel chapter number 10. Now he says, these are the living creatures that I saw in Ezekiel 1. Now I know they are what? Cherubims. Okay. After you find out time, you can read both the chapters and you will see that he says living creatures, because he was unaware that these creatures are cherubims. Now he knows these are cherubims, and he relates to his previous vision of Ezekiel chapter number 1 and says, these are the creatures that I saw previously by that river. These are cherubims. Verse number 16. When the cherubim went, the wheels went beside them. And when the cherubim lifted their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also did not turn from beside them. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels stood still. And when one was lifted up, the other lifted itself up, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So the spirit moves them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. What it says? The glory of the Lord was lifted up and it was placed on the four cherubims. Hallelujah. People of God, are you here? And the cherubims lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in their sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them. These are cherubims who carry the throne of God, because God is about to leave the temple of Israel and go back to his rightful throne, that is in the third heaven. Are we seeing that? There are many details. Now, if I start to say those details about the wheels, when the wheels were lifted, the cherubims were lifted, about the wings and all those stuff, it will be a lot technical and people might not be ready for that, for those details. But I am giving you a simplified summary of what is happening. What do cherubims do? Cherubims are the carriers of the presence of God. Cherubims are the living creatures that John saw in John chapter number 4, who even worship God. And do you know, God created us to be a cherubim on earth. That is what the four faces of the cherubims signify. Hallelujah. People of God, I think I should stop. Everyone say, God created me to be a cherubim on earth.
God created.
The characteristics of a cherubim should be our life. The characteristic of a cherubim. That's why not a bullock cart is supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. What is supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant? The priest, the cherubims. So how God travels in the realms is how God gave the pattern to Moses to carry the Ark of the Covenant. He said, my priest shall carry it on the shoulder. How? Where it came from? Because the cherubims carry the throne of God in the realms of heaven. They are the one who transport the throne of God. And we have to be like cherubims who do not move to the right or to the left, but walk straight in the paths of God. That is one of the characteristics. The cherubim has four faces. One is the face of a lion. One is the face of an ox, face of an eagle, and the face of a man. These are the four qualities that God expects you to have These are the four things that God expects a man to have, the qualities of a cherubim. A lion, the lion signifies that you shall dominate the kingdom of darkness. It signifies you are the son and the daughter of a king, and you shall rule and reign. The face of the cherubim, lion, domination. The second is an ox. Ox signifies that you are dominating, but never forget that you are also an ox. You are dominating because you are yoked to Christ. The ox signifies that we are yoked to Christ. If we walk with his yoke and walk with him under his yoke, we will be a lion. The third is an eagle. Eagle signifies that you are not supposed to operate in the realms of the surface. You are supposed to operate from the high realms of the sky. Eagle.
Hallelujah.
And the fourth face, that is of a man, signifies your frailty and your need for a savior, that you are a sinner and that you need to be an ox, that is, for your survival, you need to be yoked with Jesus Christ. Those are the four faces of the cherubims. Do we understand? And what do they do? They carry the presence of God. They carry the throne of God. When you understand those four qualities of the cherubim, and you understand that, and what the another quality is, their wheels. What are our wheels? Our wheels are our feet. It says the Spirit of God was in the wheel. So when the Spirit moved forward, only then the wheels move forward. So we walk only when the Spirit moves us. We stay only when the Spirit makes us stay. Hallelujah. When we will understand the significance of cherubims, we will be able to carry the presence of God on our shoulders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Do we understand that? So these are the cherubims that Ezekiel saw in chapter number 1. Now these are the cherubims that are on which, what I read the scripture just now, the throne of God came upon the cherubims and the cherubims flew away. Why? Because of the abominations in the temple of Jerusalem. When the cherubims flew away, the desolation was placed in the temple. What is desolation? Desolation is the Babylon. Babylon came and destroyed the temple. Now I want to explain you the abomination of desolation. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew's chapter number 24. Hallelujah. Should I cover abomination of desolation, or do you want me to stop? Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Matthew's chapter number 4. Matthew's chapter number 24. Sorry. Let's go to Matthew's chapter number 24. Jesus, now I am not going to go into that. Jesus speaks about what is going to happen in the end times. We will start from verse number 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, where will be the abomination of desolation placed? In the holy place. Whoever reads, let him understand. This is what is written in the bracket of my Bible. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. When the Jerusalem is a mystery. Jerusalem is the stronghold of the whole earth. Do you understand that? Jerusalem is the stronghold of all the nations of the earth. Right when Jerusalem will be desolate, that desolation will affect the nations of the earth. That desolate, hallelujah. Are we understanding? Like a stronghold. What did Jesus say? Do not fight against demons, but attack the stronghold. Bind a strong man. If you want to take the goods of his house, bind the throne. Bind, you know, attack the stronghold. Attack the main place. That is the stronghold. And Jesus is saying, listen to the scripture. Jesus is saying, so people have to run away from that place. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Because when the abomination of desolation is placed, the Antichrist will carry out massacre. Abomination of desolation. Abomination of desolation. What is abomination of desolation? Abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist will place his throne in the temple of God. That is abomination of desolation. How will it happen? I told you about abomination. And what is desolation? Desolation is when there is no presence of God in a place. The place is desolate. That is desolation. Now I have studied the Bible to get you scriptures about the desolation. Now I want to show you some scriptures. Turn with me to Micah chapter number 3. Let's go to Micah. Chapter number 3. Now, I want to show you some things that is the same things which Ezekiel wrote in Micah chapter number 3. It says, verse number 1, and I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin of my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. You see that? The same things he is talking about, what Ezekiel was speaking. Okay, let's skip all those things. Who is who God is talking against? The priest and the prophet of the temple. Now jump with me to verse number 11. It says, her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. They lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. They have completely made the temple of God a den of thieves. Remember where Jesus came and drove out the money changers, the dove sellers, all those people, and said, you made my father's house a marketplace. That is what they are doing in the temple. That is what they did during the time of Jesus. Jesus had no interest to save the temple, to build the temple. He was there to break the temple and build it again, the new temple. So God had no interest in the physical temple. You see that? Okay. So verse number 12 is important. Micah chapter number 3, verse number 12. It says, therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Hallelujah. Because of them, Jerusalem, Zion, and the mountain of the land shall be desolate. It shall be desolate. It shall be destroyed. It shall be desolate. That is desolation. That is desolation. What the Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist spirit will manifest in Jerusalem. And there will be, abominations have already started in Israel, by the way. The gay parade, the worship of foreign gods are happening right in Tel Aviv. What are they? They are the preparation for the coming of Antichrist. They are grieving the Lord who performed his promise by bringing back the nation, by bringing back the remnant back together, the physical remnant. When Israel was formed, I think in 1947, if I'm not wrong. When Israel was formed back, that is the promise which manifested the people of Israel from other nations. They left the nations and came to Israel because Israel was again formed by the grace of God after a lot of persecution, after a lot of annihilation and killing. Israel came back to formation. And now when Israel came back to formation by the grace of God, Antichrist is again, Lucifer is again going to make Jerusalem a place of abomination, so that the presence of God leaves because of these acts, what the people were doing. And Jerusalem shall be a heap of ruins that is desolate, shall become a heap of ruins that is desolate, that is desolation. Do we understand that? So the plan of Antichrist is to make God leave from his sanctuary. And when God leaves from his sanctuary, it will be desolate. And when it will be desolate, the throne of Antichrist will be placed in the temple. That is what Jesus is speaking. When the abomination of desolation is placed in the temple, Antichrist is going to take control. So we have to keep our eyes spiritually, not through the news. The news shows us a lot of things and all those stuff, but we have to keep our eyes spiritually to look for things that are happening in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem will be the one. When Jerusalem has the abomination of desolation, it is going to spread the reign of Antichrist from there on the nations of the earth. When the abomination of desolation will be placed in Jerusalem. Are we understanding that? And Jesus came, when he came in the temple, he said, "You have made this temple a marketplace, which is my Father's house." And in that temple, you know what? That temple was also called by the temple by the name Herod's temple, because Herod invested in its renovation. When the temple was again, so listen to me. Let me come back to the scripture. Solomon built the temple. You see how the presence of God left Solomon's temple? Babylon destroyed the temple. Okay? Babylon took away the vessels of God, the vessels of the temple. But Nehemiah and Ezra came back and again rebuilt the temple. They again rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And many of the visions that Ezekiel saw about the new temple, about how they will sacrifice, was about the temple that will be rebuilt by Nehemiah and Ezra. But the temple that was rebuilt by Nehemiah and Ezra was taken over by Herod during his time, during the time of Jesus' birth. And Herod expanded the temple. Herod renovated the temple when Jesus was born. And when Jesus was born, by the words of Jesus, the temple that was rebuilt, the second temple, was again destroyed. Because first time it was God himself, and this time it was Jesus himself by his word who destroyed the temple. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, but when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was broken. So Jesus came so that me and you no longer have to seek God to go to the most holy place in Jerusalem. God exists in our very inner beings by Jesus dying on the cross and sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So the new temple is the bodies of men. That is what the new temple is. The new temple is your body. The new temple is my body. And Jesus has done away with the old temple. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? And now there is no building of the third temple. The third temple will be built for the placing of the abomination of desolation for the coming of the Antichrist. I don't have time tonight, but you can read the vision of Ezekiel of the third temple. You will see the elements in the vision of Ezekiel of the third temple. It starts off, it has many chapters in his vision. It starts off from Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Chapter number 40. Okay. So many of the things that Ezekiel sees and the instructions that is given to him of bringing the sacrifices of the priest, of the chambers of the human priests, those are about the temple that will be built by Nehemiah and Ezra, the second temple. And some of the details that Ezekiel gives are found in the book of Revelation. So Ezekiel talks about the earthly temple that will be rebuilt and the heavenly temple that is there in Jerusalem. Like in Ezekiel chapter number 48, and also in Ezekiel chapter number 47, about the waters that flow from the temple, the healing waters. Then Ezekiel chapter number 48, let me cover a bit of it. Ezekiel chapter number 48. Verse number 30 onwards, it says, there are exits to the of the city on the north side measuring 4,500 cubits. The gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, and one gate for Levi. One on the east side, 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate for Zebulun. On the west side, 4,500 cubits, with their three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, and one gate for Naphtali. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. This is what is there in Revelation chapter number, the last chapter, where there are three gates to all the sides, west, east, north, south. And the Lord is in the middle. He's talking his dimensions of his revelation is dual. He's talking about how God wants to construct the second temple. And he is also talking about what temple it would be in, what kind of temple it would be in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me end here. Many of the Christians are waiting for the third temple to be built and all those sorts of things. And they think God will build the third temple. Many of the Christians believe when the third temple will be built, there will be a revival, all sorts of things. You have not read your scripture, because many of the Christians are taught that, oh, Antichrist is not going to come there. Antichrist is a Muslim. He will be a Muslim person and all sorts of things. Muslims have nothing to do with the Antichrist, I'm telling you. The Bible never stresses on those things. Many preachers teach that. You know, when the Israel and Hamas war started off, and Hamas started to kill people violent, and they said, oh, Hamas is the Antichrist spirit. I am telling you, Hamas is not the Antichrist. Antichrist is right in Israel. Those Jews who say they are Jews and are not. And we need to read our Bible carefully and meditate on scriptures carefully. So this is Jerusalem. This is the mysterious Jerusalem, and it has a ancient pattern, and those patterns will be repeated in the future of what happened and what Ezekiel wrote about, what Micah wrote about, what happened during Solomon's time, how the temple was corrupted, how the people corrupted the temple. Mm-hmm. And that is how the Jewish people, they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They are still waiting for a Messiah. They are still waiting because they still believe that the Messiah is supposed to come. And that is how they will introduce the Antichrist. Hallelujah. But for us, our residence is not the earthly Jerusalem. Our residence is the heavenly Jerusalem, where God has promised us a citizenship by giving the mark of his spirit as a guarantee for our redemption. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, we confess that we are pilgrims here and we are been marked by you as the citizens of heavenly Jerusalem, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, the corruption is not only, will not only happen with the temple of Jerusalem and Jerusalem, but the corruption is also happening with the churches, which signify the Jerusalem on earth, Lord. How, Lord, Satan is entering the churches and preparing the so-called Christians to accept the mark of the beast and to accept the Antichrist as their savior, as their hero, or as their politician, whatever, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, but Lord, I pray that Christians, Lord, will not be blinded when they read the Bible. Father, they will sit in the secret place. Lord, you're from the Holy Spirit when they read their Bibles, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, you said in your word, Lord, that you will give them shepherds who are after your own heart, and they will teach them, Lord. They will teach your sheep, Lord, the perfect ways of God and the sound doctrine that comes from you. Father, in the name of Jesus, raise up shepherds, oh, after your own heart, that will teach your sheep, that will feed your sheep. Lord, the hireling is just, who is not a shepherd. They just want to eat up the flesh of your sheep, Lord. They are leaving your sheep malnutritioned, Lord. Not feeding them, but they are feeding their own bellies, Lord. I pray like you exposed Pelatiah and he fell down dead. Lord, I pray that you will expose those hirelings who are not true shepherds. But instead of them, you will send, Lord, true shepherds, Lord, to your people, Lord, who will feed them, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will expose Babylon that is entering the churches, Lord, and laying the abomination of desolation, Lord. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we look up to the holy city, Jerusalem, and the Bible says Satan came against that city also, and the saints who were there in the city, but Satan was thrown down to the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Hallelujah. Thank you that we are the citizens and the members of the city which will never perish, the holy city Jerusalem. Father, in that hope, Lord, Abraham traveled on this earth in that hope for that city. Sarah traveled, the heroes of faith, Lord, got a vision of that city of Jerusalem. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through your word, I pray that your people will behold that city, Lord. And Lord, whenever they are depressed, whenever they are let down, that they will know and look up to that city where we will live eternally. Oh Lord, Apostle Paul said that you are not going to die, Lord, but at the twinkling of the eye, we shall all be changed. And he said to the brethren, encourage each other with that word. Lord, if there is something that we can use to encourage each other, is the revelation that you are not going to live here forever. You will live eternally with God in his city. That is how I can be encouraged. That is how we can encourage each other, comfort each other. The tears that you are crying will not be forever. The sorrows and the burdens of this earth will not be forever. God is going to take you out of the midst of this corrupt Jerusalem, out of the midst of this corrupt earth, and he is going to make you your own bride, the holy city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray for people in the group, Lord, wherever they are, Lord. I pray for the coming meeting Saturday and Sunday. Lord, I pray that you will bring them in the name of Jesus. Every distraction, every business, Lord, every procrastination, I break in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, bring your people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we want to thank you once again for your presence. Oh, Lord, all we need is your presence in this place. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.